Heart falling deeper. Cold and nice 난 너무 싫어. 기다리기에는 너무 길어.
Hello, 친구s. So excuse me, I'm not feeling 100% today, but today's song is Multiply by Woods.
I saw a star fly the sky today. Wonder if you've seen it too. You've been so close, but so far away. I'm just saying you call me selfish. I don't mind. I want all your time tonight. LA where you be at nighttime in Korea. But you brighten up my sky. Me and you, one on one. Wanna spend time with you, girl. I will fly across the sky to be next to you. Wanna be by your side. Let the world know you're mine. I love you a million times. I'll be you multiplied.
All right, I'm actually going to end it there. That was Multiply by Woods. So if you're interested in hearing the rest of the song, go ahead and give it a look up on Spotify and Apple Music. I really like Woods. He's a very unique creature in the K-drama world. He leans towards the rocky side. I tend to lean a little heavily toward K-R&B, which is what this song actually falls under. It's a great song. And Woods himself is a great musician, so give him a listen if you ever want to try it out. That being said, let's go ahead and start into our episode for today. So we're actually talking about dramas today, chingus. Woohoo! I'm talking about three dramas today. The first drama I'm going to be talking about is Love Next Door, which has been finished for quite a while now. And then the second drama I'm going to be talking about is Dear Hetty, which has ended about, I think, was last week. And then the third drama I'm going to be talking about is ending this week, and that is Family by Choice. So let's get into it, and we'll start with Love Next Door. So I remember in the last episode, I was curious about watching Love Next Door, but I wasn't totally sold on it because it seemed to lean on the melodramatic side, and melodrama is not my favorite. A lot of the reason is because I don't like the way writers plot out melodramas, and they put drama in the sake for drama, even though it doesn't necessarily make sense to the story. And another reason is I have enough problems in my life, I don't want to watch them on screen. So this drama actually surprised me. It was a pretty good drama in the sense that I enjoyed it, even though it leaned heavy on that drama. But it had some comedic moments that I also enjoyed, and it definitely helped liven up the heavy atmosphere because it deals with cancer, specifically stomach cancer. On my sticky notes, I have this as a 92% for storytelling, and then a 5 out of 5 for direction. The 5 out of 5 for direction is very rare for me. I don't typically do that, but I feel like the direction, the music, and I feel like the cinematography was pretty decent in this drama. So the 92%, from what I'm seeing in my notes, has to do with the parents mostly and how prevalent they were in the children's lives, especially after they start their romantic era. I didn't enjoy that aspect of the drama. Their acting is not my favorite style of acting, but it didn't ruin it to the point where I didn't want to watch anymore. And that being said, the two scenes that I decided to pick out and put onto my notes as pivotal scenes or scenes that really made this drama was the scene where Sung-hyo finds out about Seokryu's cancer, her stomach cancer, and that she had gone through a surgery not too long before she actually came back to Korea. And also the fact that there's a chance she might have cancer again. And so he kind of has that freak out moment, but his freak out, it's not expressed the way he wants it to be expressed. And so he expresses it the only way he knows how, which is to get pissed off at her. And she kind of gets defensive. She's a little more open to it at the beginning, open to him. But then once he starts getting defensive, she gets defensive and they have this huge argument. As an audience, I loved the way the the actors acted this scene out. I love the way the writers writ the script for this. I love the way the director captured this scene, especially making this on a multi-level platform. They're not just standing around arguing with each other. They're moving about. They're agitated. The director really does bring the intensity of those emotions out through this. The trio was trioing. And I love it when dramas do that because it makes it for such a magical moment. And that's what this was. It was a magical moment. I loved it. The other scene that I wanted to point out in my notes, it's the ocean scene. After Sung-ho and Seok-ryu fight, the tension is definitely palpable between the two. And she's extremely defensive. She doesn't want to talk to him. He's feeling like an ass because, well, he was. And he's trying to make it up to her, but he doesn't know how. And he needs to break through that defensive barrier that she's built. And so to do that, he takes her to the ocean and he basically dumps her in. He honestly gives her a wake-up call. And I really like the way he handles that. And that finally breaks past all the walls that she's built up to protect herself. And she lets herself be vulnerable in front of him again, which is something that her fiancé was never able to do. And I can totally see why these two characters really work well with each other, because they have built that trust since they were kids. They have history. They've relied on each other. They heavily relied on each other, especially growing up, especially in Song Hyo's side, where he's been in love with Seok-ryu for a while. But you can totally see their dynamic and the dynamic that they've built throughout their lives, especially in this scene. And I can actually even see why she slipped a little bit into the depression after her surgery. She felt cut off because she starts living again when she goes back to Korea after she's broken off her engagement with her fiance, and she's gone back to Korea and she's rekindled her relationship with Seung-kyo. She seemed to be doing much better. As somebody who's lived abroad and away from her family, especially in a foreign country, I can see how she felt cut off, and that could lead to depression. She needed her parents. She needed her family, the people that she knew and grew up with. She needed her best friends, not only Song Hyo, but she also needed her other best friend. And being away from them, she felt cut off from herself, because a loved one can only fill up so much of you. When he cut her off, which I understand why he cuts her off, if I'm still around that person, that love is not going to go away. It's going to be very hard to get rid of. And he's been in love with her for a while now. This is the woman he always envisioned himself being with. And so I can see why he cut her off. But the consequence of him cutting her off also helped lead to her depression. Poor thing. That being said, the relationship is actually, it's a pretty healthy relationship. Their communication is pretty good, aside from the fact that she keeps her illness a secret. But she's much more open with him, much more vulnerable with him emotionally than she was with her ex-fiance, which is why I can see why they work. And she relies on him much more than she relied on her ex-fiance. Again, another reason why I can see why they would work, her and Sung-hyo could work more than her ex-fiance. I feel bad for her ex-fiance. Poor thing. He was there when she needed it and he tried to be there for her, but he's not who she needs, nor is he who she wants. Yeah, poor guy. Not a bad guy. Their situation was harsh. Definitely not a great situation. And that leads me into this next drama that I'm talking about, especially not good situations. Dear Haeri. In my sticky notes, I gave Dear Haeri 92%. But if I'm being honest with you, it probably should be much lower. And I think I only gave 92% because I liked the acting with Shin Yi-sun and Kang Hoon. If it weren't for those two, this drama would have sucked. Plot-wise, this drama made me very angry, which is bad because I was really looking forward to this drama. I love Shin Yi-sun. And I watch anything and everything that she's in. She's a great actress, but this plot was stupid. This plot did not plot. This plot was a mess. And it's almost like the writer forgot what she was doing, or the direction she was going halfway through the plot. At the beginning of the series, a lot of how they named the episode seemed to be leaning toward a new beginning for the main character, Eun-ho, which is probably where it should have kept going. In the sense that she was letting go. And a lot of the quotes, it was talking about letting go of the past, moving forward, and trying to find a happy new beginning. That's what the plot of the first few episodes were about. The music that played between the female lead and the male lead in the beginning of the series were about saying goodbye. The quotes were about saying goodbye. The episode titles literally said goodbye. So tell me why by the end of the series, the plot has decided to take a 180 and she's no longer saying goodbye. It's pointed toward him. It's not pointed toward the second male lead, which honestly, poor dude, poor Kang-hoon. I need to remember his name in this drama, but poor Kang-hoon, because he didn't deserve any of that. Those writers knew where this was going and they should have kept it going where it was supposed to be going, which was in his direction. Honestly, They robbed the end of that story. That being said, the problems I have with this male lead, and the reason why I felt like the writers were trying to make us say goodbye to this male lead and the relationship that Eun-ho had with this male lead, is because he's not exactly the greatest person. He's constantly belittling her, telling her he's embarrassed that he even dated her because she's kind of mediocre at her job, no matter how hard she tries, and she tries. He's constantly bringing her down, but he secretly helps her as well, which is weird. Very mixed signals. So whenever she falls down, he helps pick her up. He helps save her. He gives her parts that they don't want to give her because, again, she's mediocre at her job and he's good at what he does, but he helps her out. He gives her job. He gives her work. He gives her lines. But then he turns around and he belittles her afterward. Okay. Mixed feelings, mixed signals even. And then he pushes her away, saying he no longer wants her. And he not only tells her, but he tells everybody in the office that he no longer wants her. And then he turns around and he sabotages a potential relationship. Yes, I know it's kind of a weird relationship because she's starting a potential relationship with somebody who he grew up with, who's in a weird brother situationship with him because they're not exactly family related through blood, but they were raised by the same Hanmonis. But he sabotages that relationship. And you can tell he's probably done that before, in the 4 years that they had broken up to where the story picks up. That definitely was not the first time he's sabotaged her relationship. But the funny thing is he didn't even need to sabotage that relationship because she was in love with him, even though he's a prick. And then halfway through the series, when she's starting to unravel and her mental health is starting to spiral down in the middle of the series, he comes in and he swoops her up off her feet and he helps her like a superhero, and he tries to be that hero for her. And great, but where was that person for the 4 years that you had been broken up? I can see glimpses of a great relationship in those situations, but the thing is, her situation isn't that great because she's not mentally healthy. And he knows she's not okay. And that middle episode, after she's fainted and after he's stayed with her for a few days and he has to go because one of the Hanmonis is hurt, he runs out on her and she's been very guarded for the entire time that he's been with her because she's expecting him to run off and she doesn't know why he keeps staying with her. Also, she's already learned at this point that she does have multiple personality disorder, so she's a little worried that he's going to meet the other personality. Anyway, he runs off. Then he comes back and knocks on the door and he tells her, can you stay like this? I'm sorry, what? Can you stay like this? He wants her to stay like this so he can stay with her. Meaning, can you stay sick so I can help you and have an excuse to stay by your side? Eh? No, dude, that's not healthy. And I'm glad she said no and closed the door in his face. That's probably what should have been the end of it. That should have done it. That should have been the end. They should have started going their separate ways. Because then you have the poor second male lead and her second personality, who, in my opinion, are much happier. The entire reason for the second personality is for her to be happy because she's got nobody left. She has no family. Her parents died when they were young. Her sister, who was the only living relative she had left, disappeared at a college outing that she forced her sister to go into. Her Hanmoni that raised her died. She's got no one. She's got no one left. So when she started this relationship, she finally had someone and she was happy, but then he breaks up with her, and the way they break up is literally the worst breakup I've ever seen in a series. That goes for American, British, even Italian and Korean. This was probably the worst breakup I'd ever seen. Dude literally leaves her crying, sobbing after he ended an 8-year relationship as if it was like saying, no, I don't want onions on my cheeseburger, then walking off with one single tear running from his eye. Other than that, it didn't look like there was much remorse, just because she wanted to get married after 8 years in the relationship. Worst breakup I've ever seen. Worst breakup I've ever heard being written. If somebody actually broke up with somebody like that, you are a cruel person. Anyway, second personality and Kanghoon's character are all about trying to find that happiness again, because Kanghoon, much like Eunho, does not have a very happy life. And the second personality is all about being happy. Even though, yes, it was based off of her sister, it's about her being happy again and finding happiness in life. I believe the Kanghoon character and the Hedi, that's the second personality's name, the Kanghoon character and Hedi were finding happiness in life again, which probably should have been the end game. That's the arc that should have happened. Either that or she should have ended up by herself. He said, I love you for who you are, whether you are Hedi or you are Eunho. Hedi is part of Eunho. Second personality or not, they are part of Eunho. She's part of Eunho. Even the therapist said she's part of you. So the fact that when the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde situation is cleared and she goes back to the main lead, it's a little frustrating because that's not where the plot was supposed to be going. And that is definitely not where the beginning of the series said you were going. It's just the plot didn't plot. The writing sucked, which is sad for the actors that did their best to create their performances. And they did great in their performances. I have no problems with the actors. It's the writing. The writing was shit. That 92 should probably be less. But because the actors did their best, 92%. Okay, that brings me to my last drama, which I have much less frustration over. And that is Hwang In Yup's new drama, which I'm very happy about because he doesn't do many dramas, or at least he hasn't been lately. And that is Family by Choice. This was a great, great drama. I'm really liking Family by Choice. The dynamic between these three, it's so cute and it's so refreshing. And you can totally tell that Hwang In Yup's character really likes the female lead, but he's trying to keep that balance between friendship and romance. But he keeps telling her, we're not family, when she keeps insisting we're family. And he has every right to be in love with her because they're not family, and she's a little bit blind to that right now. Although I think emotionally she's a little stunted, if that makes sense. Emotionally she's stunted as a character. She's supposed to be in high school already. She should be probably in either her sophomore or her junior year in high school. I was not that ignorant of feelings and relationships at her age, but she seems to be. And I don't know if it's because they grew up with each other, but then she also has that problem with the other kid that really likes her. And she doesn't seem to be emotionally attached to him. She's open to him, which is nice. It's nice to see that she's emotionally open to accepting his feelings, which is why she ends up agreeing to the date. But then it gets sidetracked by the fact that Hwang In Yup and her brother are fighting, and she's trying to amend that because it's making her life a little miserable. And she likes it when they're the Three Musketeers, and she doesn't like it when they're angry at each other. So she goes off and tries to fix it, agreeing to the date, but also not kind of agreeing to the date and forgetting that she's agreed to the date. I've not finished this drama yet, so right now it is at a 98% on storytelling because I like the way the writing is happening. The parents are pissing me off, not the two dads that have raised the kids, and that is a dynamic I've never seen in a drama before. This is an interesting dynamic between the two fathers that have raised these children. Interesting dynamic. I've never seen something like this before. Basically, the female lead's father is helping raise two little boys. One of the little boys, Hwang In Yup, does have a father. His father is the police chief of the town. He is present, but he is a police officer, which means he's busy. And so he spends a lot of time with the female lead's dad and her brother. Now, her brother has literally no blood relationship to her at all whatsoever. He is kind of the adopted brother that her father brought in because he felt bad for the kid when he was little and his mom ran away, and poor thing was left with his aunt who could not take care of him because she was a student. And so he takes him in and he raises him, and they become this little family, which is really cute. And the two fathers help raise these three kids together. And you can tell they've kind of relied on each other to help raise these three kids. And I really like seeing this. They're open to communication with each other. They're sensitive, especially the little girl's father. They're protective of their children. They love their children, even though some of them are not actually their blood relations. And even better. Like they sound like they're trying to solve problems as if they were a cohesive and actual natural family, which is so nice to see. I mean, the female lead's father even mentions while he's crunching some numbers at his restaurant that maybe he should probably take out another savings account so that way he can save up for some money to buy a car for Hwang In-hyup and the brother, because they're supposed to be going to college next year and it would be better for them to be able to drive around. I love that. I love that idea. So yes, the dynamic between the two fathers raising these kids, very unique. I love it. The three kids themselves, the actors of these three kids, I love this. The casting in this was great. The writing with this is okay, which is the only thing that's frustrating me about the writing is why now that these kids are literally graduating high school, they're 19 years old, why are the parents that have been absent all their lives suddenly wanting to come out of the woodwork and wanting to stake their claim to them? Especially Hwang In-hyup's mother. I cannot stand that woman. I've never wanted to slap a woman so much in my life. I cannot stand her. The way she treated him as a kid, basically told him to his face that it was his fault that his little sister died, calling him a murderer. And then on top of that, saying that she hates the fact that he's alive and well and happy, and then ditching him. And when he tries to ask her to stay, she tells him, have a good life. It's your fault. Tells the little girl, if you want him, have him. There in that moment, ma'am, you gave up all right to that child. You have no right to that child. So good for you. You found yourself a rich husband and you've had yourself another little girl. Congratulations. Now live your life. Why are you going back to torture the man who loved you enough to try to help you and be with you and help you heal? Because that man was very patient with her. He was very patient with her, but she still left him anyway. Yeah. You have no right to jump into their lives again and expect them to embrace you the way you were expecting them to embrace you. And bringing that little girl, that is dirty. It is dirty. And the Jinapa too, of the brother, the brother's real father, Jinapa, he comes randomly out of nowhere, lies to him, says, I never knew you were born, when he knew that he was born at least some way or another, because he knew that the girl that he got prego was prego and ditched her anyway and married a rich woman. You have no business coming into his life 19 years later because you've never been present in it. And then the mama comes around, who's not talked to him in 10 years, not a call, not a text, not a letter, not a postcard, nothing. She's done nothing. It's been radio silent. This poor child had been waiting for her for 10 years, shows up dressed to the nines, and she looks like she's wearing some expensive stuff. You have no right showing up. Ooh, it's gonna rain. I should probably end this soon before it starts raining. Anyway, she had no right to show up when she did either. So the parents in this drama really are making me angry. The only two that aren't making me angry are the two fathers that have a right to have a say in these children's lives. Anyway, this was a good drama. Let me know what you think about any of these dramas, either it be Family by Choice or it be Dear Hedi or it be Love Next Door. Let me know what you guys think of these. I love to hear you guys' opinions, and I'm actually going to end it here before more thunder comes up and it starts to rain. So thank you for joining me in this episode. And next episode, I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing. There are some new dramas coming out that I'm excited to be watching, especially one with Woo Do-hwan. And I like Woo Do-hwan as an actor. So I might actually be doing a podcast on that drama. It's going to start on Netflix pretty soon, so keep an eye out. Mr. Plankton. I think that actually might be my next episode, is Mr. Plankton. Barry Manilow and I are going to sign out. It was good to talk to you, Chingu, and I hope to hear from you. Goodbye, and until next time, bye, Chingu.